this place is one, this was one time Yadanandan Acharya's residence. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Mayapur when we're visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site this morning. Nityananda Prabhu did not appear in Navadvip. He appeared in a place called Radhadesh. That is some distance, few hundred kilometers from here, border of Bengal and Bihar. The birth site of Nityananda Prabhu is known as Ek Chakra Gram. That is where Nityananda Prabhu appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. Balaram Hoila Nithai. In Vrindavan we know how Krishna and Balaram, they appeared right there in Braj area. Both the personalities, Krishna and Balaram, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they did not appear in Navadvip. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip, Mayapur, and Nityananda Prabhu appeared in Ek Chakragram. So when Nityananda Prabhu was just a small boy, one day, a holy man, a traveling mendicant, he came to the door of Hari Pandit, who is the father of Nityananda Prabhu, and he was traveling by himself. He wanted some assistance, some helping hand. So he begged for the son. Could you give your son to me? He could be my assistant during my travels. And Hari Pandit, he immediately agreed and he donated his old son. He gave his son, yes, my son could travel with you. So with this mendicant, Lord Nityananda Prabhu traveled all over India. And ultimately, this saintly person, traveling mendicant, and Nityananda Prabhu, they arrived in Vrindavan. As they were going through Vrindavan, they came to Radhakund, to the bank of Radhakund. And that's the place Nityananda Prabhu realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has appeared on the planet, and he has appeared here in Navadvip. So immediately, Lord Nityananda Prabhu left Vrindavan for Mayapur. One day, in fact, day before the meet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dream. In the dream, he saw someone was inquiring, where is Nithai's home? Where is Nimai's home? Is this Nimai's home? Is this Nimai's home? Someone was inquiring. And that person identified himself as, he said, I am your brother and I will meet you tomorrow. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up next morning, he realized who that personality was. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent all his associates, go find that person who I had seen him in the dream. So they went all over Navadvip to find Nityananda Prabhu. But Nityananda Prabhu was hiding. Nityananda Prabhu was hiding here in this home. So they went all around, but they couldn't find. So they returned, said, no, we didn't find. It just false alarm. So they came back saying, no, there's no one that, you know, you describe that kind of person. When we saw, we went everywhere. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to find that personality himself. He said, you come along. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a whole delegation. They came from Mayapur. to this place, and it wasn't difficult for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find Nityananda Prabhu. So he elocated Lord Nityananda, and a meeting took place right here. And that was the first meeting between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Now this is Antardvi, central world of the lotus, which represents Atmanivedan, full surrender. And this Antardvi is compared with Gokul of Brajamandal. This is as good as Gokul of Brajamandal. As Gokul was full of Vaishya community headed by Nanda Maharaj, the community here was Brahmin community headed by Jagannath Mishra. So as Krishna and Balaram, they were together in Gokul. Likewise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they are together here in Antardvip or Mayapur. So, after the first meeting, then several pastimes have taken place in Navadvip area. And as we walk around, more and more pastimes will be revealed unto you. Alright?
Jai.
So the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come from Yogapeet, his birthplace, to this spot. And today, now we are going from Yadunandana Acharya's home to Jagannath Mishra's home, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Jai. And we'll be walking on. Hare Krishna. Do you see these toys here hanging from this tree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Desire of Bhakti day. Devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu from the west, and devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu from the east, from India, from Bengal, they would all get together. 100 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted like this. And he said they would come together, and what would they do? They would chant Jai Sachinanda. That is what we are doing. So for the pleasure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we will chant this for a few more minutes. Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Hare.
Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana,
Jai Sachinandana, Gauda Hari. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
God, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, God, Hari Bol.
Itai Gaur Premanande. So we are here at the place which is technically known as Yoga Peet. We call this Yoga Peet, which is birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You all have been hearing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth under a neem tree. Where is that neem tree? Do you see some neem tree around? That is the tree. Under this tree, in a house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. And because he took birth under a neem tree, his name, one name is Nimai. This name was given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Sita Rani, Sita Thakurani, wife of Advaita Acharya. One reason why name was given Nimai was all the first eight children, your own daughters, they all had taken birth and died. So for protection of this child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the 10th child. Vishwarupa was the 9th child. First eight daughters died. So for protection, you know, the neem tree, not only it has antiseptic qualities, but it also protects. It also protects one. So to create some auspiciousness and some security for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also was given this name, Nimai. So this house here, inside there is an area of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, a little baby Nimai. This is where Lord appeared in 1486. Approximately 504 years ago. Or 405 or 405? 505 years ago. On Friday, on 18th February, Lord, that year, 1486, 18th February, Friday. What time of the day? Moonrise time, evening time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. As moon was rising in the east, it was full moon day, but it is, the acharyas say, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in fact, is the moon, Chandrodaya. Name of our temple Prabhupada gave, Chandrodaya Mandir. Chandra means moon. Uday means to rise. Chandra, the moon, had risen here. And that moon is Chaitanya Chandra. Chaitanya Chandra. Chandra means moon. So when this moon had risen from the horizon, from the womb of Sachi Mata, and this moon was spotless moon, no spot on the face of this moon in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The regular moon was feeling, you know, because he is full of spots. So he wanted to hide his face that day. So he hid. And the excuse was the eclipse. Under the banner, under the excuse of eclipse, that moon had hidden its face. He did not want to compete with the moon.
the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Lord Chaitanya Chandra appeared here, the moon appeared here, and there was a kind of blackout because moon was there, but no shining moon. But the real effulgence was coming from personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so this whole area was very, very effulgent. And because it was moon eclipse, everyone was out there in Ganges taking baths. And they were all chanting, Hari, 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 Hari! They were all chanting, Hari, 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 and taking baths as Lord made his appearance at this place. He was a beautiful child. Many more pastimes in this area, childhood pastimes. Let me give you a little history of this place. Soon after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure from the planet, this whole Navadvip was flooded and all places were kind of dismantled, destroyed. Soon everyone forgot which pastime took place where, and including the bird sight of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally forgotten, and some parties were trying to make claim that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip town, which is on other side of Ganga. This is eastern side of Ganga. We are sitting on eastern side. Navadvip town is across Ganga. So some started making claims that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. His birth site was in Navadvip town. And this kind of propaganda went on for several hundred years. So several controversies. No one really knew which one was the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then a great acharya appeared, and that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj, who was fully convinced that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site was on eastern bank of Ganga, and certainly not other side, not certainly in Navadvip town. He had references from the scriptures, and so he started searching, looking for the site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. He referred to several maps, several scriptural references. And ultimately, he approached his Guru Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He took Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj one day. He carried him around. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was carrying his Guru Maharaj in a basket on his head. And as he was traveling in the Navadvip area, they came to this side. And as soon as they reached this side, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was very, very old, over 100 years old, invalid, not able to even get up and sit down properly, when he reached here, as he was sitting on the head of Bhaktivinoda, he immediately jumped. Big jump in the air. Jai Satchinandan! Jai Satchinandan! These were his words. And he felt ecstasy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj took that as an indication, clear indication, that this was the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A lot of Muslims that time, this is about 100 years ago we are talking about, even now they are here. So especially this area was kind of abandoned by the landowners, because they always saw some kind of lights here and some strange sounds they would hear. They would see some lights sometimes coming, emanating from this area, and they mistook the that as some kind of ghostly business. So they're staying away from this place. But in fact those sounds were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Nitya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Nitya Leela is going on eternally in Navadvip. And the predominant Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting of Hare Krishna. So they're not able to figure it out. What is this sound? What is this light? So they were scared and they were staying at distance, staying away. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was successful to establish this place, recognize, acknowledge this place as birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This happened about 100 years ago. And then he wanted to build a temple at this site. So there was advertisements in, what is that, Anand Bazar Patrika? Calcutta paper? Amrit Bazar. Amrit Bazar Patrika. An appeal from Bhaktivinoda Thakur for donations. He wasn't asking for big, big donations. Wanted every person. People to take part in building this. He was very successful in his attempt, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with all those donations, he has built this temple. This was Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj's contribution. We stopped earlier for the evening. And then this place was gradually developed. It is still developing. You could see there's a big hall coming up, big satsang hall, Kirtan Hall. So now, it's beyond a doubt, there's no question. This is the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, we always come, Prabhupada said, come here, all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Acharyas, come to this place. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went around with his parikramas, he had come here. Everyone now comes here. This is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. So, it is our good fortune. And it is arrangement of the previous acharyas, in fact. They have arranged our good fortune. And we could come, and we have no doubt, no controversy. This is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. We could come here, offer our obeisances, remember those past times, and like that. So this is Mayapur, little village also around here called Mayapur village. So Srivas Angan, the residence of Srivas Thakur, is not far from here. That is our next stop. And that is where we will hear from His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj. He will be enlightening us. Today's guest speaker, Jayadvaita Maharaj, has been walking with us. He's very much here with us. So, we'll be there in 10 minutes or so. And we'll have class there. Okay, the photograph is not welcomed here in this area. Some of the managers and others have some objections, so don't take photographs. I'm sure you have already taken photos. But don't take them, and no more. Radharaman, you found Bhagavatam? Jadvadaman, you need Bhagavatam, or we are not carrying? Should we? Yeah? Okay. You'll use some other scripture. Yes? Thank you. Okay, we have Bhagavatam if you want to use. Gauranga Prem, we go to Srivasangam from here? Or any other places? Okay, so with the deity's kirtan, we go this side first, my left side, there's the deity of Nanda Simha. And then we return. Gorga Dadhar also. Deity Darshan. Then we come out of the entrance and then turn right. Continue on Bhakti Siddhanta road. And then we will reach Srivas Angam, the residence of Srivas Thakur. We'll briefly mention what that place is and then we'll have a class there. Don't take pictures, but if you are interested in pictures, they're for sale here. 5 rupees. Piece. 5 rupees piece. Huh? Just Alright. So right behind this Jagannath Mishra's house, there's a deity of Lord Shiva, who is a protector of this dham, Kshetrapal. As in Braj area, we have Shiva protecting dham. Very similar. Same. Vrindavan and Navadip, not different. To think they are different is offense. So as we mentioned, this Antadvip is Gokul, and in Gokul, you have Shiva protecting Gokul Dham, Braja Dham, Uttara Dham. So here also is Shiva right behind. So the deities will go around, you take darshan of Shiva right behind this house of Jagannath Mishra, and other darshans, and then the Srivas Thakur's. Please take your seats. This is Srivas Angam and we're going to have a class by Jadvaita Maharaj here. So,
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Sadatar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sound is all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, this is the place for Atmani Vedanam. So, Lokanath Maharaj said that I should speak about that. So I have to surrender. Everyone has to surrender to Krishna or the representative of Krishna. No one has any alternative. The representative of Krishna is there either as the spiritual master or as the Yamaraj, superintendent of death. So as tiny living entities, we have some free will, but we can't decide whether or not to surrender to Krishna. It's just a question of whether we're going to surrender voluntarily, directly, or involuntarily by the force of the material energy. That choice is there, that much free will. So the standard Atmanivedana example is Maharaj Bali. He was advised by his so-called spiritual master not to surrender to Krishna. That, after all, if you surrender to this little boy, Vamandev, then he'll take everything. And if he takes everything, then what about me? There'll be nothing left for me. So don't be a fool. Don't give everything away. Make some excuse and don't surrender. So the Bali Maharaj had to decide what to do, whether to give up his kingdom, whether to give up his promise. So he decided to give up his so-called spiritual master, Shukracharya. Anyone who's saying not to surrender to Krishna is useless. He's useless. I'm going to surrender. This Brahmin boy has come. Actually, he's Lord Vishnu, I know that. But the business of life is to surrender to Vishnu. I'm going to do it, that's all. And if he takes everything away, that's all right, that's his business. Atmani Vedana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses Atmani Vedana. He says, Manasa Deha Geha Yoki Chumor Arpilu Tvapade Nandakishwar. Krishna is Nandakishwar, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says what do I have? First thing I have is my mind. The mind's business is to wander here and there. Chanchalahi mana Krishna pramati balavadriham. The mind is fickle. It's crazy. It's strong, and it wants its own way. Chanchalahi mana Krishna pramati balavadriham. And controlling the mind is very difficult business. It's like trying to stop a hurricane. If you stand in front of a hurricane and say stop, the hurricane doesn't obey. So controlling the mind is very difficult business. Even the yogis who try by pranayama and exercises and so many forceful procedures for hundreds of thousands of years have great difficulty controlling the mind. And even when they get control, and all it takes is one Menaka or some such heavenly society girl, and that's it. Hundreds of thousands of years of yoga practice down the drain. So the mind is very difficult, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I'm giving, by higher intelligence, I'm going to give direction to the mind to surrender to Krishna. That mind is going to be offered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Savai mana Krishna parara vindiyo. The Ambarish Maharaj also, he engaged in all nine of the methods of devotional service. And his first business was to engage his mind in Krishna consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna's manohar, his business is to take everything away. So if you offer your mind to Krishna, then he'll take your mind. Mind control. That's very nice, because someone had to take it. So rather than offering the mind to the illusory energy to be kicked around like a football, lust, anger, and greed being kicked in that way. Better to offer the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then, after the mind, then the mind becomes one's best friend when it's offered at Krishna's lotus feet. That same mind that was the worst enemy becomes very friendly. And then the next business is manasa deha. Then we have this body. The body means the senses. And at the present moment, the senses are uncontrolled and they're leading me here and there. Just like a Prahlad Maharaj says, a man has so many wives. Suppose he has five wives, so one is pulling this way. Come on, let's enjoy. Another one's pulling on another arm. Come on, let's enjoy. Another one's pulling somewhere else. Come on, let's enjoy. So that man's not going to enjoy very much with five different wives pulling him five different directions. Say, come on, come on. That's not possible. He'll just become completely perturbed. So the senses are pulling this way and that way. The senses are not under our control. They're pulling on the mind, And the mind is saying, all right, let's do it. But when the mind is engaged by higher intelligence in Krishna consciousness, then the next thing is that the friendly mind engages the senses in the service of Krishna. Just like Ambarish Maharaj, after engaging the mind, then Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnane, he engaged all of his speaking power to speak about Krishna. Because of all the senses, the most difficult sense for controlling is the tongue. That tongue is very powerful. Small but powerful. So, the tongue has two functions, to taste and to vibrate. So the tasting function should be engaged for tasting Krishna prasadam only, and the vibrating function for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And all the senses, this whole body, should be engaged for the service of Krishna. After all, the body will be finished very soon. We've already had so many of them and used them all for sense gratification, one after another. So now we have this human body. If we use it for Krishna, it's not very good for sense gratification anyway. For sex life, the pigeon is better suited. It can have sex so many times a day. For sleeping, the bear is better situated. He can sleep all winter. For eating, the hippopotamus is better situated. He's got a big mouth and a big body. He can just eat like anything. So, eating, sleeping, mating, and even for defending, we're not very well equipped. We can't do very much defending. So, rather than use this body for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, better to use it for becoming Krishna conscious and going back to Godhead. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasa deha, and the next thing is geha. The one big trap of maya is called householder life. Hitvatmapatam grihamandakupam. Prahlad Maharaj says, someplace out in the fields, there's a well that's not used anymore. And by disuse, now it's become covered over with some vegetation, grass and vines or whatever. And if someone goes out into the fields, he may walk over that thinking that it's solid ground, and then he falls in. And he's way out in the middle of nowhere, and it's very deep. And what's he going to do? He'll just be crying out into nowhere at the bottom of this dark, blind well. That means he'll be finished. So Prahlad Maharaj says that householder life is something like that. It's just somehow or other you fall into it and then there's no getting out. One is trapped. He may struggle, but he's trapped. So it's a great hidvatmapattam. It stops one's spiritual progress. One gets infatuated. Now I have a nice wife to serve me. I have some money. I have a nice house. I can be a little comfortable. I have a little of this. I have a little of that. I'm entitled to a little of this, that. He becomes children and so much preoccupied with temporary things. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. He forgets about Krishna consciousness and becomes attached to all of these things as if they were permanent and thinks this is mine, and I'm this body. The bodily conception of life takes over again. So it's a great danger, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as the ideal householder, set the example that he said, yes, my house also I offer to Krishna. The house is not my property. It's the property of the deity, the property of the Lord. And all of the people in the house are also the property of the Lord. And whatever goes on in the house should only be done for the service of the Lord. And the whole thing is the Lord's business. If I'm working also to maintain it, it's just because it's Krishna's property. So in that way, his mind is always thinking of Krishna. His body is always engaged in Krishna's service. The house is also not my house, but Krishna's house. Manasa deha deha yokichu more. And aside from my body and my mind and my words and my house whatever else I have, which is not much, even if one is a big king, what is his, what does he have? It's very insignificant. But anyway, we think that insignificant thing is very big. We don't want to let go of it. We want to accumulate it. Hold on. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, anyway, whatever I have, Arpilu Tuapude Nandakishore. I offer that to you, Krishna, Nandakishore. And Nandakishore, what is his business? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, well, if you like, you can protect me. And if you like, you can kill me. That's all right. That you have that privilege, because after all, I'm your servant. So you can do what you like with me. The materialistic person, in distress, prays to Krishna, please save me, please save me. People approach Krishna, chatur vidah bhajante ma, pious people, when they're in distress or in need of some, some difficulty, they approach Krishna, please help me, please help me. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a pure devotee, says, well, you can save me or don't save me, that's your business. You have your own plan, you have your own idea, and why should I place demands? You have to do this, you have to do that, please save me. Someone's praying to Krishna, please kill him, so why should I pray, please save him? Whatever you like, that's all right. Kill me or save me. Just like, who was that devotee? Gopinath Patanayaka. There was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, actually the whole family, the family of Bhavananda Roy. He had five sons, Ramananda Roy and so many. So they were all engaged in Hare Krishna. Padam padam yadvi padam. They were all engaged in the government service, but somehow or other, this Gopinath Patanayaka got in trouble because he was like the district collector, he was collecting taxes, and he was shortchanging the government. He'd collect so much and people skin a little something off the top. So it was, some audit was taken and he was found out. So then the king said, well, what are we going to do? He said, I'll pay you back. How will you pay me back? Well, I have some horses and I'll, you can buy the horses, you can take the horses from me and pay off that much of the debt, and I'll pay you back the rest on time. So the king's son knew a lot about horses, so he was called in to estimate the value of the horses to find out how much they'd be worth in paying off the debt. So he was a little envious or something, so he gave a lowball guess for the value of the horses, way low. So Gopinath Patanayaka got a little bit annoyed. Anyway, this son of the king, he had kind of a nervous tic or something. He had an idiosyncrasy that he would kind of turn his neck and look up into the sky. Kind of like that, you know, something like that. So he had this nervous idiosyncrasy. And when that boy gave an unfair estimate of the value of the horses, Gopinath Patanayaka said, no, these are really good horses, they're first class, and they never turn around and look up at the sky. So the son of the king was quite annoyed, and he went to the king and lodged a complaint that this Gopinath Patanayaka is just cheating, and we're never going to get the money out of him. All we can do is, if you give your permission, we'll put him on the changa and force him to give the money. Changa is a device for execution. They have a platform, and underneath the platform, they put swords sticking up, and when they pull out the floor from under you, you land on the swords, finished. So we'll put him on the changa, and naturally he'll feel somewhat intimidated. He'll fork over the money. The king said, all right. So they put Gopinath Patanayaka up on the changa, and some devotees immediately went to tell Lord Chaitanya. that your devotee Gopinath Padanayaka is going to be killed, they put him on the Changa. So Lord Chaitanya said, what do you want from me? He's, the king's business is to collect taxes, he's stealing from the government. The king's doing the right thing. Why should I intervene? So then another devotee came and said, you know, he's your devotee, you have to do something. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not going to do anything, I'm a sannyasi. It's not my business to get involved. What do you expect me to do? Go beg from the king? I'm a beggar, and maybe I'm going to beg a few rupees or something. But to beg, you know, hundreds of thousands is big. Nothing. Lord Chaitanya said, not going to do anything. Then somehow or other, the king got to know. The word was brought to the king that this person's going to be killed. He's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee, and they're going to kill him. Then the king said, I didn't want him killed. I just wanted the money, that's all. And if we kill him, we're not going to get anything. So then the king gave the order, and Gopinath Patanayaka was released. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these people are always disturbing me. They get it, they steal from the government, they're all in government service, and they're taking money from the government, spending it to go see dancing girls. It says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spending the money to go see dancing girls. And then they come and complain to me, and I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna and execute my duties. And people all day long are coming and save this one, save that one. I'm going to go off to Alalanath or someplace and, you know, just leave all of this. It's too much. So the word came to Kashi Mishra, I think, and he used to perform service for the king. He would massage the feet of the king every day. So he brought the word that this is going to happen. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to leave. So the king became very agitated. Maharaj Prataparuja became very angry, agitated. What to do? So he thought of giving the money back. Then he said, no, this, that. Anyway, finally it was fixed up that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also be unhappy if the king, just on account of his being Lord Chaitanya's devotee, gave the money. But then King arranged, but you just tell him that because these people are actually very dear to me, so I want to see them nicely situated. Then he gave that, he really freed him from all the debts, Gopinath Patanayaka, gave him a raise, gave him a promotion, gave him a special silk chadar to signify that, and he was very satisfied. So then the word was brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a little angry, but then when he heard that it was done, actually out of affection for Gopinath Patanayaka, that the king never knew. And he thought, all right. Then all of the family, Bhavananda Roy and company, they all came and offered obeisances. And they admitted that it was just by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they'd been saved from such a dangerous situation. And a special thing that very much pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inquired that when he was put on the Changa, then what was he doing? And he was informed that he was just chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. Not to get released or anything, but just in complete helplessness, he was chanting your holy name. So this is surrender. You can kill me, you can protect me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Ashushya va padaratam panastumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. Yatatata vavidhatu lampato. Matkaranatas tu saiva napara. You're not a person of very good character. Nobody can depend on you. No one knows what you're going to do. Anyway, you can reveal yourself to me, or you can hide yourself from me, or you can embrace me, or you can crush me. You can do whatever you want, because you're my Lord, so you have that right. Whatever you like, you can do. the gopis also, they gave up everything, home and children and respectability, reputation, everything. Krishna is there. He's blowing his flute. We're surrendering, that's all. Atmanivedana. Srila Prabhupada gave another example. He told a story that there was one man who had a baby and he had a dog. So he went out somewhere, and when going out he put the baby in the crib and put the dog to guard the baby. And then after some time he came back, and when he came back and looked in the crib, the baby was gone, but there was all this blood there. And he finally that the dog is sitting there, and the dog is also bloody, blood on his jaws, and the baby is gone. So the man understood that this dog has killed the baby and eaten the baby. So he pulled out his gun and he just pointed it right at the dog. And the dog just looked up at him. And the man pulled the trigger. And when he pulled the trigger and the sound of the gun went off, then immediately the baby began crying. So the farmer went to where the cry was coming from, and he saw that there was some, the baby is there, and some animal, fox or something, dead animal was there. The dog had, some animal had come, and the dog had killed the animal and dragged the baby off to some safe place. So the man understood what had happened, but the point was that the dog was so faithful that after performing his prescribed duties, if the man, the master was going to kill him, well, that's his business. Complete surrender. So we're in that same position, that we're completely surrendered to Krishna. We have to completely surrender to Krishna. It's not expected that Krishna will misunderstand. After all, he knows everything. That man, he has the four defects of the living entity. But Krishna is the perfect person. Therefore, no one else is suitable to be a master except Krishna. Matpranatastusevanapana. No one else but Krishna can be such a perfect master. Therefore, there's some prayer. Jumuna Charjas says, Aparhashi Ishyami Sanatajivita. When I have you as my master, then I become joyful. Any other master is not worth having. Rukmini Devi also says that if someone has a husband other than Krishna, then that husband is just a bag of blood and stool with some hair stuck on the top of his head and a few mustaches and a couple of eyeballs and things like that. And some poor woman has to accept him instead of you. So it's very unfortunate. It was also an incident that Marichi was ordered by Ravana that I want Sita Devi, so my plan is that I'm going to kidnap her, but the first thing is to get rid of Lakshman. He's guarding her. So you just prance around in the form of a deer, and Ram and Lakshman will go after you, and I can steal Sita. And then Marichi became very much afraid. He said, if I use my mystic power to do that, then Ram and Lakshman will kill me. And Ravana said, well, if you don't do it, then I'll kill you. Then Marichi said, well, better to be killed by Ram than a rascal like you. So that's a fact. Whether Krishna may treat us very nicely or he may kill us, he may do whatever he wants with us. But
Whatever he does, if he kills us, that's very nice. We'll get liberation, go back home, back to Godhead. If he keeps us around a little longer, we can do some devotional service, whatever it is. Like Prabhupada said that at one time he recovered from some illness, or he was allowed to, he was living somehow a little longer. He said, well, Krishna said, all right, let him do his nonsense a little longer. So a devotee thinks like that, that if Krishna likes, I can go on with my so-called devotional service, whatever nonsense I'm doing, little, whatever it is. Or if Krishna likes, then he'll finish up the business. So everything's up to Krishna. Krishna's all good absolute. So if I surrender to Krishna, then that's all good. And if I do anything other than surrender to Krishna, then it's a waste of my life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? Something to say? Yes?
I'm just wondering, is this Tapaludra, the same son later on was conveyed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was so happy about him?
Was this son of the king the same one that was brought before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see. It's not mentioned. Chaitanya Charitamrita doesn't say. Yes?
Well, sometimes we feel like in a good state of mind to surrender. And but I wonder if we have to, because surrendering, it seems that it's the best thing to do. But I wonder if we have to take in consideration that are we ready to do it? Or are we qualified to do it, to surrender right away?
Surrender seems to be the best thing to do, but we wonder whether we're qualified to do it or ready to do it.
Yeah, just like we, somebody may want, when you see like a nice gathering like that, you may say, oh, I just want
see
to...
See a nice what?
When you see a nice gathering like that, you may say, oh, I want to quit my job and my house, and I just want to become a devotee. But after some time, you realize that, no, it's not going to be able to live this kind of life. What takes sannyas, let's say.
So he may see a nice gathering of devotees and think, this is great, let me quit my job, quit my family and just take sannyas and give up everything and join. But then he may think that that would be irresponsible, better not to do that.
No, after some time.
After some time he thinks, why did I do that? That was foolish, I better go back to my wife, back to my family.
He can't do it.
He can't do it. He just can't maintain. So what should he do? So the real thing is that one has to surrender to Krishna or to Krishna's representative. If one's a pure devotee, then Krishna dictates from within, do this. And if we do what Krishna says, then we'll never be making a mistake. But if we're not pure devotees, then we may be inept at taking dictation. Then we have to hear from Krishna's representative. That's the spiritual master. The spiritual master says that you go on with your job, or you quit your job, you work this way, or you work that way. And what the spiritual master says, we should do. The spiritual master is considered the Sadhari, directly Krishna's representative. So what he says, we should do, and we should stick to that. It may be very difficult, I may not be ready, I may be unprepared, or I may have started it and not think I can continue, but whatever. The spiritual master's order is there, and one should make that his life and soul and do that. That if he tells me that I have to, sometimes it's very unpleasant. The spiritual master may tell me to give up householder life when I want to continue in householder life. Or the spiritual master may, apparently even worse, tell me to remain in householder life when I want to quit. But whatever the spiritual master says is considered to be directly Krishna's dictation, so we should follow that. Or in the physical absence of the spiritual master, his instructions are there, and Shastra is there, and sadhus, other devotees, advanced devotees are there. So one should take consultation from authorities and do the needful. Is that okay? Sometimes Krishna is very kind. We're not ready to surrender, and he forces. That's another mercy of Krishna. When one feels that he's competent, that he knows what he's doing, that he's that he has things together, and that he can pull on, keep the status quo, then Krishna, out of kindness, may just smash his whole scene. Yasyaham manukranami harishet tadhanam shanai. Krishna may specifically attack his bank account and drain it. And then when he tries to build it up again, then Krishna may attack it again and drain it again. And after a few times at this, the man's friends and family become disgusted. The person is this, he's completely unreliable. He can't maintain us, he can't satisfy our senses. And the man becomes very distressed. He can't get it together, he can't get his, build up his bank account, he can't satisfy his friends. And finally he just becomes so frustrated, so hopeless and helpless, that he just says, this is too much.
Save me from repeating.
Like in this, like in early days, so many of us were Prabhupada's disciples. We had the same spiritual master, we were chanting the same mantra, we all had a similar kind of devotional service. We seem to be kind of equally surrendered mood, and but then many of devotees from that batch who seemed we were all together, we are all of a similar nature, similar mode of surrender, similar sincerity. Then suddenly, or as in due course of time, you know, some devotees left while some others stayed on in the movement. So I'm wondering why they were for 10, 15 years, or 5, 10 years, they served and they're very, very sincere, like anything or anyone and everyone like us now we are. So,
What happened?
What made the difference? That some continued their journey, then some had to slow down or discontinue, or they seemed very sincere souls.
So, a few things. One is that we may not be qualified to see fully what's in the hearts of others. Krishna completely knows, and we may get some idea, but we may not fully know, because we're not omniscient like Krishna. So someone may appear very much and not be so surrendered. So if there was a person who met Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, took off on his family and went to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was some person who joined him along the way. Am I right, or was it Sanatana Goswami? Sanatana Goswami? Joined Sanatana Goswami, huh? Not his disciples. Some person, some Vaishnava. No. Okay, let's see if we find out who it is. We'll get the story, and then you can tell me who it was. He met some person along the road who was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Or he was a Rambhakta, I think. He was a Vaishnava, anyway. And he began serving him very nicely. He began serving this Goswami very nicely. And he was always chanting the holy name of the Lord, and he was always rendering such nice service. Then they got to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much pleased to see this Goswami follower. And this other person, Lord Chaitanya, completely ignored. Which Goswami was it? Raghunath Das? Pati Goswami, yes? That's right. Raghunath Pati Goswami. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Raghunath Pati Goswami, and this other person, Lord Chaitanya, completely ignored him. So it may have been very surprising, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Antaryami Super Soul, he knew that this man appears to be very devoted, but actually he's an impersonalist. How to surrender to the mind, how a neophyte devotee can surrender to the mind, surrender the mind to Krishna, if there's anything left of it. How to surrender the mind to Krishna. That method is given by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. He says, yuto yuto nischalati manas chanchala maskira tatas tato niyam yaitar atman yeva vasham naye. He says the mind is very fickle and its nature is to go here and there and everywhere. So wherever it may go because of that unsteady nature, one should just bring it back under self-control. So then the question is how to do that. So that method is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniya Sadahari, just chant Hare Krishna. He said, always chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant. If the mind is filled with Krishna, then there's no room for Maya. Yahan Krishna Taham Maya Nahi Adhikar. If Krishna is there, then Maya has no right to enter. Just as where the sun is, darkness can't enter. So if we're always chanting Hare Krishna, then there's no room for Maya in the mind. Is that okay?
Yes, sometimes happens the time that the Hare Krishna mantra is going on, somehow or other the mind gets the opportunity to be somewhere else.
And if you're in the temple and the mantra is going on, but the mind somehow or other gets the opportunity to go somewhere else, then one should chant Hare Krishna louder and focus the mind on the holy name of the Lord. Surrender to Krishna means to surrender to the sound vibration, Hare Krishna. The more we chant and hear without offenses, the more the mind will be purified and fixed up at the lotus feet of Krishna. Practice, practice. Yes? Does surrender develop in the association of the Vaishnavas? Yes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya gave two instructions. One is always to associate with Vaishnavas, and the other is to give up the association of non-Vaishnavas.
Rupa Goswami instructed that one should always aspire to associate with advanced Vaishnavas.
And one should always aspire, Rupa Goswami says, to associate with advanced Vaishnavas.
Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu
Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Koi. And that's only one moment of association, so what to speak of? Always associating with Krishna.
Adho Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha. Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana
Kriya. Adho Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Very much essential, Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees.
Maybe you could explain to us about the importance of studying Srila Prabhupada's books on a regular basis in relationship to surrender.
The importance of surrendering, of reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly as an item of surrender. Yes, because the mind works on the basis of the senses or by the direction of the intelligence. The mind is in between. The sense objects are here, then the senses are here, then the mind is here, then the intelligence is here, then the soul is there. So the mind is between the senses and the intelligence.
So if the intelligence is very much engaged in Krishna consciousness, it becomes very strong, spiritually strong, and it controls the mind. But if the intelligence is weak, or unfocused, or polluted by maya, then it can't control the mind, and instead the mind becomes controlled by the senses. So if we study Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, that engages our intelligence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who regularly reads this book is serving me by his intelligence. So by reading the books, our intelligence is engaged in devotional service. It becomes purified. It becomes competent for controlling the mind. Then we don't become victimized by the mind through the senses. It's also good for preaching.
It comes in front of you.
How much surrender are we, these kind of devotees? I mean, are we 100% surrendered? Or, I mean, it seems that some of us have fallen down in the past. But in general, these kind of devotees, could we say we are 100% surrendered while we are in the full mood of surrender? Are we 100% surrendered, or what is our level? What degree of surrender that we could be put into what category? What person?
Something.
In general.
Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigaya Nayam for Joy. No one can estimate. I certainly can't estimate. I don't dare estimate. Someone's more advanced, someone's less advanced. But anyone who becomes a devotee is very much advanced. He's, just to be chanting the holy name of the Lord, he must have bathed in all the holy places, performed all sorts of tapasya, done all sorts of austerities and sacrifice. He's the best Aryan. He's done everything, so that now he's chanting Hare Krishna. So he's very much advanced in spiritual life, even if he's just a new man in the temple or new person coming to take part in the programs. He's very fortunate. So what to speak of a person who takes the process seriously, decides to associate with devotees, take up the practices, get initiated, render service. It's very... not an ordinary person. Then what the percentage is, someone's more, someone's less.
But it seems that we are doing manasa, deha, or jokshu, shimo. Many of us are doing that. So is that not 100%? Yes, we are.
According to our surrender. The mind is... maybe someone's always thinking of Krishna. Someone's 80%, someone's 90%, someone's 50%. And the body also, someone's more attached to sense gratification. Someone's not following all the regulative principles that we see sometimes. Or sometimes, if one is not regularly hearing and chanting, then it's described that there are bamboos growing on the side of the pond, and bamboos suck up all the water in the pond. So if we allow material desires to grow and don't cut them down, then they'll soak up our Krishna consciousness, and we'll be looking at an empty pond there. So sometimes we see that a person who became shaven-headed and bright-faced and Krishna conscious becomes overrun. The vegetation starts growing on his head again. He starts working very hard to earn money and purchase expensive conveyances. He's very much engaged in how to keep his family happy in terms of material things. So that means his percentage has gone down. That also sometimes happens. If we hear and chant and follow the principles regularly under the guidance of the spiritual master, then whatever percentage we have will increase. it's like good investment. Whatever capital you start out with, you'll get interest, and your money will grow. But if you follow bad advice or throw your money away or are careless, then you can very quickly lose it all. So if we follow the bad advice of materialists or neglect the advice of the spiritual master, then whatever percentage of Krishna consciousness we have, it can also diminish. Nectar of Devotion says it's like, just like we have Shri Kariva Chandrika Vitananam, the waxing moon of devotional service by chanting Hare Krishna. It's also the waning moon when we render, commit offenses at the feet of devotees. Then that moon can diminish instead of growing. So whatever the percentage is, it doesn't matter. If we strictly follow, if we sincerely follow, then the percentage will increase. And we see that someone who was a neophyte a short time ago becomes very advanced next time we see him. They come back to Mayapur and the person has changed. He's advanced so much. But we also see it the other way. The person's careless. So we should pray to Krishna that we'll always be nicely engaged. And not just praying to Krishna, but we should do it. Yes? How to surrender to the Vaishnavas. That's given by Rupa Goswami. He says different things. One thing he says is that by loving exchanges with Vaishnavas, to give them something and accept something from them, to reveal one's mind to them, and to hear from them as they reveal their minds, and to give them Krishna prasadam and accept Krishna prasadam from them. These are all exchanges of devotion. Then according to the advancement of the devotee, a less advanced devotee, we try to be merciful to. And a devotee on the same level, we become friendly with. And the more advanced devotee, we surrender to. We render humble service to. So there are different grades of Vaishnavas. More advanced, less advanced, same advancement. And we have to see who's who and render service accordingly. It's an art and culture. But there's a way to serve all the Vaishnavas.
This place, reveal this form as Narayan, or the Supreme Lord, to the Panchatapa and to the devotees. And he accepted their surrender. Now, my memory is not so good. I don't know if you would like to remind us about what happened when Lord Chaitanya
place here and form as Narayan to the Panchatattva and the devotees. Actually revealed so many forms, wasn't it? He showed that he was Narayan, he's Nrisingadev, he's Vamandev, he's Varaha, he's Ram Chandra, he's everybody. Depending on the devotee. So Murari Gupta saw Lord Ramchandra and someone else saw some other form. So Lord Chaitanya, what was it? How many hours?
21
hours. He was manifesting these different forms. Yayata mam prapajyante tam sthitaiva pajamya. Mahaprakash. All the forms of the Lord are present within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, Manji? Philosophically understanding the faults of fault-finding, why do we still do it? And what's the difference between fault-finding and constructive criticism? We, even after philosophically hearing about finding faults, we do it because of impurity of heart, because of the modes of passion and ignorance, because of residual dirt from many lifetimes, so that even after hearing, we continue to do that.
That's also in that Ajamil chapter that Sukadeva Goswami talks about that a person hears that it's bad, he's instructed, he knows that there's going to be a bad, does it. So then to mitigate those sinful activities, there are so many prayashchittas and things to be done. He's the most powerful holy name of the Lord, because that will uproot even the seeds of, because even aside from my desire to do it, which I have now, there's some seed of desire. I'm not thinking of doing it now, but because of something in my past background, I'm going to be thinking about doing it. I'm not thinking about robbing a bank now, but later I'm going to think about doing it. Or like a child has no sex desire, but given a few years, the sex desire will sprout. So chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent that it not only nullifies the reactions to present sinful activities and drowns out present material desires, but even the seeds for potential desires that will manifest in the future are destroyed by devotional service, by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's said that they're like seeds that are fried. This term is there in Krishna consciousness, fried. So this is the best way to get fried, to chant Hare Krishna, so that even the seeds of material desires will be fried. And when a seed is fried, it can't sprout. The difference between constructive criticism and fault finding, just by common sense definition, the constructive criticism is well motivated and fault finding is ill motivated. So when there's envy involved, when there's ill will involved, then it becomes fault finding. Or if one finds fault with a superior person, if one wants to give advice or constructive criticism to a superior person, that's also inadvisable. And Sanatana Goswami taught, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought that up in regard to Jagadananda Pandit. He wanted to give some advice to Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya said, that boy is giving advice? Didn't appreciate it. So, that way. Is that okay? Sometimes a devotee may think that his constructive criticism is well motivated, or that his destructive criticism is well motivated. So it's a question, it's a problem, isn't it?
It's better to praise too much.
Kavi Chandramar says it's better to praise too much, run the risk of praising too much than criticizing too much. That kind of indulgence. Yeah.
One devotee asked Prabhupada, is it all right to see faults with another devotee? Prabhupada said, yes, but you better be right.
And Prabhupada was asked, is it all right to see faults in another devotee? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, but you better be right. Sometimes it may be our duty to find faults. The spiritual master has that duty. Or some authority may have that duty. And in any occupational duty, there's some risk. A king may punish an innocent person, or anyone who has a duty may commit some inadvertent fault. So, sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that we should do our prescribed duties and make up the slack by chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, if we're very sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord and depending on Krishna, and praying to be properly guided, then Krishna will save us from committing mistakes. Yes.
And sometimes there is no fault, but we try to find it. That's a faulty thing to do.
If there is no fault and we try to find it, that's faulty. Fault finding. The best place to look for faults for those who have a fault-finding propensity is within oneself. If you're looking, you'll certainly find them. Yeah?
Siddhanta Maharaj also said that all the faults you see in others, you have them a thousandfold within.
Yes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the fault that you see somewhere else, you have 1,000 times over inside yourself. Yes?
Regarding being disturbed by, sometimes someone may find fault with one. But just like Bhakti Goswami, he explained how Akinchan Das Babaji one time he was accused that you're just going from one mat to another and you're just making politics. So then he was, Akinchan Das Babaji was laughing and said, actually now you're always saying I'm a Paramahamsa, but actually now you have realized my real nature. And then he was laughing, so he took it in a humble way.
The Prabhupada criticized Babaji Maharaj that way.
Bhakti Goswami explained how Kenshin Das Babaji, he was visiting different mats.
Bhakti Goswami Maharaj said that Kenshin Das Babaji Maharaj was going from different mats to different mats, and Prabhupada was criticizing him. Who was
some of these Prabhupadas were criticizing, said, why you were going from different one mat to another, and you were simply playing politics and telling something good, but actually just want honor. So then he was saying, now, so actually now you realized my.
So some of Babaji Maharaj's godbrothers were criticizing, you just go from one mat to another and you just create politics and talk. So he responded that, yes, now you found out my real nature. So it was appreciated that if someone finds my faults, or if someone finds out some fault in me, yes, I must have that fault. Yes.
You said a lecture of devotion also says, I can use that.
Maharaj said a lecture of devotion also says that after one has finished chanting all the Vedic mantras, taking bath in all holy places and all four austerities, then that person gets into chanting of Hare Krishna. So as ISKCON devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, meaning they have done all this in the past. And then they get into serious chanting and serious devotional service also. But because they're not cautious, they're offending Vaishnavas and different things happen, they take it easy, take it for granted, different things happen, then they fall down. But then in due course of time, they also revive their faith, their memory, their good times in Krishna consciousness by coming in contact with devotees again, or some good fortune descends upon them, Krishna is in their heart. So they come back again to Krishna consciousness. So so should we conclude that probably this will go on? Also, I was trying to ask you how much surrender you are, and you say something. Some surrender is there, it's not full surrender. So will we be fully surrendered in, or should we take this as indication now that our time has come to go back to Krishna, or?
Like what is an indication?
That we are now chanting Hare Krishna, and we fall down, we revive, we go through this up and down process. As Krishna also says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanamam Mahaprapandyate. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava, that one who fully realizes that Vasudeva, Krishna is all in all, takes so many, many lifetimes. So, maybe many, many lifetimes, but it's going to be only some more lifetimes. Many could be 5, 10, 20, but our time has come. We are on the waiting list or something to go back to Krishna. Like here also that was Vasudeva Datta.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said up a million births you go.
No.
Who is it?
Mukunda.
Mukunda
Datta?
Only Mukunda, yeah. Actually also only here when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Mahaprakash, that opulence with so many different incarnations he was exhibiting different forms of different devotees, and there was a big hall here and it was filled with the devotees, and they were all seeing that form right within the big